DavidRenicky.com. I love catching up with this website because there's so many cool stories about what's going on in the heavens. But look, I'm sick of reading. I'd rather go to the man who puts it all together, Dave Renicky. Hello, David.
You are so kind. Yeah, good to be with you again, Booker.
Thank you very much. I'm feeling the same as this physicist you're looking at on the website here. He's pretty depressed that we never get to see aliens. this is someone who's in science, and I mean, even I know that the reality of you and I seeing someone from another planet is pretty remote because of just how vast the universe is. It's something to do with mathematics, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot to do with a lot of things, actually, and the phrase, where is everybody, comes into play.
Yeah.
Now, it was a time when everyone in the Northern Hemisphere thought they were it. There's no one else on the planet. There wasn't anywhere else. It was only the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that there was Australia or New Zealand or anything like that until, only a few centuries ago, you know. So the thing we're doing now, we're saying the same thing now. Look, this all came about by a phrase from a man named Enrico Fermi. Now, Fermi is one of the people that I grew up learning about when I was learning about physics way back 2,000 years ago or something. Fermi was sitting around with a bunch of friends around a dinner table, and they were discussing the possibility or the reasons we haven't been visited by anyone yet. What makes us so important, I wonder, you know? So anyway, they were discussing that, and Fermi said, look, there's so many planets out there and so many stars out there. Where is everybody?
Yeah.
Well, that phrase, where is everybody, has become a bit of a catch cry. And to that end, we've got to ask certain questions. Now, scientists have looked at this and thought, well, where is everybody? So you've got to say, what makes us think we're that important? We're in the boondocks part of the galaxy. We're right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
All the action's in the center. We've only had radio for a bit over 120 years. We've only been doing radio astronomy since the end of World War II. We've only been able to find planets around other stars in the last two decades. So here we are now pondering the question, why hasn't anyone come to visit? Well, we haven't got the phone connected. We're a settler in the wilderness, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, there could be several reasons for this. Now, scientists have pondered it and thought about these different scenarios. Some of the aliens might be hibernating like we are, just getting ready to progressively move out into space.
Okay.
In other words, we're starting to have a spacefaring presence, and very soon, in the next few centuries, we'll venture to other worlds. We'll colonize other planets out there. Maybe other civilizations are in the same situation. See, we're a long way away. So if you're going to do that and start exploring, you start exploring closer to you. There could be a whole bunch of things happening in the center there where we don't know about. So that's one possibility. The other one is there may be something preventing their evolution from taking place.
Yeah.
And that could be they've wiped themselves out. Now, we've come a few times very close to doing that here, and we're in the process now of trying to get along with everybody else. Now, we've got superpowers with enough firepower here to destroy the Earth.
Correct.
Hundreds of times over.
It's funny, I was watching that Cosmos series with Carl Sagan back in the early 80s, and that was his conclusion for the entire series as to why we still haven't met beings. He said civilizations get to that point where they do destroy themselves, and that's why they don't expand any further into the universe. So it's very extraordinary to get beyond that point in your existence and start thinking out there, you know?
Well, the other scenario is too, and it's quite funny. When you think about it, maybe we're not worth it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, what if you were sitting on the other side of the moon with a receiver and you were tuning into our news service here, or you just joined Facebook, for God's sake?
Yeah, God.
Would you come and say g'day?
Yeah, a planet that's got the Kardashians as one of the highest rating shows is just, it probably is not worthy of anything.
And what would happen if something landed? The Navy would come out with their ships and guns. The Army would turn up with tanks and train them on you. You wouldn't have a chance in the world. I don't know. Look, the story is, the thought is there. Where is everybody? Maybe they are out there. We just haven't found them yet. And there's an old theorem you've got to remember when you're talking about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that is lack of evidence is not evidence of lack.
What? Okay, that's a very
good
twisted
way to look
saying.
At it.
Yeah, okay. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay, fair enough. I
agree
with that.
Let me give you another example for you and your listeners too. You can do this tonight. And we do this with our night shows when we take people out under the stars there. It's called a jaw-dropper. It's a beauty. Now, I want you to go out in your backyard tonight. When you get a chance, you get a quiet moment, and your listeners as well,
yeah.
Go out and stand there and find a patch of the sky where you can't see any stars. I want you to put your arm out, extend your arm right out in front of you.
Yeah.
And you can do that now and put your little finger sticking up in the air at arm's length. Concentrate on a patch of the sky you can't see anything and place your finger over that patch. Now, that fingernail you're looking at is covering up 10,000 galaxies.
What, that patch of black?
Yeah. Because you can't see anything there, doesn't mean there's nothing there.
Oh.
There are stars there and there are galaxies. You can't see them because your eye's not strong enough to pick it up. But if you took a camera on that patch and you set it up on a time exposure,
yeah.
You get a whole bunch of stars turn up on the film. Our eyes are not that good at picking things up. So just because you can't see anything there doesn't mean there's nothing there.
Yeah. And on that, David, you've got a story here about 30 alien civilizations, maybe just in the Milky Way galaxy alone. Again, because it's so big, there probably is not a chance you're going to see just by getting the old telescope out.
No, the distances are too great at the moment. I mean, we can only surmise and assume. But somebody's done a little bit of work on this and they've said, look, you know, compared to what we know and what we see, within our own galaxy there's probably a whole bunch of other worlds out there, you know, but there could be 30 civilizations in our Milky Way galaxy. It's like saying you've just arrived in a new town, you've just got there last night, woken up this morning, you thought, oh, there must be a couple of hundred people in this town. You don't know, but when you go walking around, there's probably about 10,000. So this is a galaxy we're in now. Now, the study's done by the University of Nottingham, and they've come up with, they say, look, there could be at least 36 planets in our Milky Way galaxy close to us. When we say close to us, we're talking about the nearest one being 17,000 light years away. It's impossible at the moment to try and get there. To even think of getting there in the next 20, 30, even 50 years is probably remote. But it will be one day possible to do that. It's only a matter of technology. When you think back about how fast we can go, cars at one stage, if they did 50 miles an hour, you had to hold on. Everyone bowled themselves in. Race cars, that was a record at the time, 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, wow.
And now, you know, we can get from 0 to 100K in 3 seconds. So things are changing and our attitudes are changing. We know there are worlds out there. We know there are planets like our own out there. And I think it's really going to come to the fore and we're going to find out more this year or next year, Western Australia, with the Square Kilometre Array Telescope that we talked about when that comes online.
I think most surveys with most people in the world now do agree that alien life does exist. If you say to someone, I believe in aliens, well, you're not going to be dragged off because 80% or more seem to agree that there has to be some sort of life out there.
Well, you tried that 50 years ago and there'd be 70% thought you were nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what...
But now we've grown accustomed to the fact that we can leave this planet. We know we can do that. And I think everyone's comfortable with the fact that one day we will make contact. And as I said to you once before, I think, with you being in radio, me being in radio, dealing with news all the time, I think that the knowledge that we found somebody out there, if we did, and that signal came in, or we made some sort of definite intelligent contact, I think you would agree that that story would be the biggest news story in history.
Oh, just be incredible, incredible. Same as this story, mate. What do you know about this this exoplanet system that is a mirror image of the Earth and the Sun? What do you mean by mirror image?
Well, you look in the mirror and you think, well, there's another person that looks like me. Well, that is you.
Oh, right, so...
This is a mirror image of our solar system. It's called Kepler-160b. Kepler is the name of a telescope that we put into orbit to find planets around other stars. Johann Kepler lived, I think, around the 1600s.
Yeah.
And he was the sort of person that worked out orbital dynamics and people in Copernicus' time and you know, Newton's time and people like that. Look, this system, Kepler, has an analog like we have. It's got an Earth-Sun system, and it's almost a mirror image of ours. There's a planet that orbits its star about the same distance we are away from our sun. It receives about the same amount of energy we do. It's in the habitable zone. Its year is a little longer than ours. It's 378 days.
Ah, nothing.
And it's around a similar sort of star as our own.
So
if you're looking for another solar system out there with a planet like ours, this is a pretty good star.
So the hope would be on that planet that's very similar to ours, there'd be some sort of maybe similar life. I can see why scientists would get excited about this.
And wondering if there's anyone else out there.
Yeah. Always reminds me of that song, A Man Called Armstrong. Remember that?
Good story
in that one. You know,
I wonder if a long time ago, somewhere in the universe, they watched a man named Adam walking on the earth.
That line.
Great stuff, isn't it? Great words.
Chills me all the time when I hear that. Anyway,
I love it, yeah.
Hey, one more thing, David. I know you're big on the future of space and more girls taking over. What do you know about this Horizon spacecraft? Now, it's out past Pluto, isn't it? And it's looking at, is it sending back pictures of what it's seeing out there?
Yeah, it's in a different part of the solar system.
Yeah.
In fact, it's taking photographs and we're showing how the constellations change. New Horizons has been looking back at Proxima Centauri. Now, Proxima Centauri is one of the stars in the Southern Cross. There are two pointer stars. This is one of them. And they're looking at the stars in a way that, well, they're looking at them like we would, but the position of those stars is different for anyone who might be riding on New Horizons, if somebody was there. The camera sees the stars in a slightly different position than we do, only minor, very, very tiny, but enough to show you that over a distance, away as you go further away from here, the star patterns will change.
Yeah.
Because none of the stars are in the same place. Some of them are so far away from each other, it's just that they look like they're close together and they make a pattern because of the way we're looking at them. But in reality, they're miles away, light years away. Some are even thousands, millions of light years away from each other. So when you move away from our solar system, the further you go, the less that shape you remember. The saucepan is starting to move to one side and start to lose its shape. And after a certain amount of time or a certain amount of distance, you'll find that that doesn't resemble the Southern Cross that you remember. So when we go travelling in deep space and we get a long way from here, we've got to have a way of getting back. And the only way you can navigate is by the stars.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a pretty complex sort of a thing to work out where you are.
Well, that's something that we can work on the next 1,000 years. I'm sure that'll be huge. All these stories and more at davidrenicki.com. David, always good chatting. We'll catch you next week, mate.
Will do, Vilko. Thank you.